Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. And together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. Today, we're joined by one of our ladies from the clinic, Ms. Rachel Allen. And we're so happy to have you here with us today.
So thanks so much for joining us, Rachel. We're happy to have you here as a new member of our team. And thank you for joining us on the podcast. We're going to learn a lot more about you, obviously. This is your first time on the podcast. I know you're a little nervous about it. So we'll start with an easy question. All right. So let's say there's a rumor floating around that the owner's newest procedure is less effective than advertised. The client comes in, brings it up to you, and you know it's a touchy subject. Do you downplay this or defend the owner's vision or just throw the rumor out there and risk escalating things?
Sorry, I don't know how to answer that.
That's like a freaking end.
We can skip that one if you're not comfortable.
Yeah, I'm sweating already.
Skip that one. So you're at the front desk. Someone walks in asking for the Kardashian special, but refuses to say which one. Do you book them for filler, contouring, or an exorcism?
Probably an exorcism. I don't watch the Kardashians much, but I'm assuming that's probably the answer I do.
What about you? How would you handle that?
I say contouring.
Why are y'all looking at me like that? Like, this is my list of questions. Like, hypothetically, someone comes in asking for a drastic treatment they obviously don't need, like a 20-year-old wanting a facelift. Do you keep a straight face or tell them to wait 15 years?
Where's this question coming from?
Give them Sculptra.
Sculptra's the answer.
I think he went rogue.
Well, he did.
It did.
So you've worn a few hats here, the front desk. Now you're part-time esthetician, still working up some. So do we rope you into that, or that was always your plan?
I think that's definitely been something that's always been the plan. I know that the beauty industry has just kind of been heavy on my heart over the last few years. It's not something that I've been doing. I've kind of been a girl of many trades. I've done, you know, retail since I was able to start working. So I'm glad to kind of get back into the aesthetics industry. I think that I didn't really know a whole lot about the medical side. So I'm not very, or haven't been very familiar with neurotoxins or any of the lasers or anything like that. So when I have done facials in the past, brow waxing and all of that stuff, I focused more on that. So being here, I feel like I'm learning a lot more about things that I've never even heard of that I didn't know that we could offer people. So
leading up to before you came here, you were involved in this. Obviously, you're an esthetician and you did some things as far as like lash extensions and that sort of thing. What's been your passion in the industry up until the time you got now with your 4-year passion? Up until this point, what's been your favorite thing that you've done?
Ooh, that's a good question. I definitely think out of everything, eyebrows would probably be my favorite. I think just a really clean brow wax, especially from somebody who's never really gotten their eyebrows done. Even a little bit of a tint in there can really do a lot for people. And I feel like that's a really great option for people who don't want to get something more invasive like microblading done. A lot of people have that brow hair there. They just can't see it. But when you put that tint in there, it just kind of makes them pop. So I feel like that your eyebrows really shape your face. So I think that's something that I've always loved seeing the after and how the patient reacts to their treatment.
I think it's interesting your job immediately before you came here. So you've been an esthetician for a while, and then you took a little break from the esthetician and you drove for Uber.
I did.
Tell me about your craziest Uber ride ever.
How much time do we have?
As much as you want. Go.
I have a lot of stories. Man, I mean, you got to think driving 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you meet a lot of very interesting people. Working in retail and just customer service in general and other jobs, I've met a lot of walks of life, but you're not in their personal space like you are when you're driving them. So it can get interesting. I think I've had my fair share of couples fighting in my backseat. I've had kids screaming, grabbing my cup. you know, you pick up people from the airport that have a ton of luggage, and I drive a small car, so like we fit what we can. And then you have the unfortunate unhygienic people, which is probably like on the worst side of people that you would pick up. So I would clean my car very frequently in between rides.
So I don't know, maybe your Uber experience has helped your people skills, because I don't know if you've always had a natural, you know, knack for interacting with people, but people here love you. And so for whatever reason, you've learned how to like bond with people, make them trust you and feel welcomed really quickly. I know that's what our patients say about you for sure. So
it feels good to hear that.
Natural ability, or like I said, Uber, all those difficult rides helped you with that.
I definitely think it was a mixture of just working retail and customer service for so long, and then jumping into something like that. You don't know what you're getting every ride. You don't really know what the person looks like, how many people there are. So you kind of get thrown into a lot of interesting situations. And I feel like that only like helped me talk to people a little bit more.
I think Skin Atomic's a lot like that, because every time the door opens, there's someone different and a different personality that comes through, and someone that's at a different stage in their life and a different mood in their life. And so the first face they've seen up until this point walking through the door has been you, and you've handled that well. But now you're getting ready to transition into another role here, and you're going to be playing more of the role as an esthetician. You've been shadowing Julie some and doing different things and trying to get back in the swing. So what would you say is the most valuable thing you've learned up to this point as a bedside clinician?
Ooh, there's a lot of things. I think Julie has shown me a lot as far as just patient care and the little things that matter. I think something as small as a patient not liking the steam because they're claustrophobic, or not liking the heat because they get really hot, little things like that to put into their client profile, just to know when they're coming in, they feel like we really care about them. So I feel like that's been like the most important thing, and just taking your time with things and not rushing.
What would you say is your favorite type of client? If you could paint a picture of the ideal client that comes in and they ask you for treatment X, Y, and Z, what would that be?
Ooh, I think starting somewhere like a facial would be really nice, especially if it's somebody that they haven't really had anything done before. I think that would be a good starting point. A lot of people that have called us or had questions about things I've mentioned, maybe start with our esthetician and then go from there, because I know both you and Chris and Allie all do more invasive treatments. I think to start on the less invasive side would be more beneficial, depending on what they're looking for.
So what kind of client do you vibe with the most?
People who are really interested in self-care and consistency. I think a lot of people think that they know what to do at home, and then they try things and then they come to us looking to fix issues. But I think that people that try to do some of their own learning at home, or really try to take the learning in from us, for someone who's more has that expertise for the things that we do here.
I think one more before we wrap up, just kind of interesting, because we do have a lot of providers out there, med spa owners, other providers who listen to the podcast. So what made you want to be part of our team here at Skin and Tonic? So it wasn't just us wanting you. You obviously had a desire to work here versus having your own practice, your own aesthetic business.
So that is a great question. I actually feel like because I have previously had my own business and I booth rented and I did, you know, facials and lashes and all that good stuff, having the perspective of already done that and knowing what the cost is to booth rent somewhere, to pay for your products, how much you want to charge for your services, as a one singular person who, you know, you have to put all that marketing into it yourself. And as someone who was just starting out, it's hard to do that. And I think anybody who is a new esthetician can probably relate to that. So I think getting back into the aesthetic industry, I definitely, because it's been a little while, I knew I would want to have a company kind of to lift me and back me up and kind of help me grow along with helping you guys grow too. And I think the one thing that stood out to me the most, and I think a lot of people do this too, is look at reviews, and there's nothing but great reviews about Skin and Tonic, and people just talk very highly of both of you, along with Allie and Julie, and I think that really stood out to me too.
Well, thank you. And I mean, I know we're certainly happy to have you here. Part of that good reviews is really genuinely, I think you know this from being here a little bit already, is we put that patient experience first and foremost. And so we always try to treat them like we would want to be treated. We try to impress that upon our new team members that that's how we want our patients treated. And I think because of that, then it's reflected in the reviews that we get. So thank you for joining us on the podcast. Thank you for joining us at Skin and Tonic. If you guys want to learn more about Rachel or enjoy some of her services, then come see us here at Skin and Tonic. And we're not done yet. So next, guys, we're going to have Brooke coming up. Brooke is also a new team member here at Skin and Tonic. So Brooke is coming up in just a minute. As part of our dream team here at Skin and Tonic, and as we're expanding, we also have a new receptionist. We have Brooke. Welcome, Brooke.
Hey.
We're so excited to have Brooke here with us. We're going to get to know a little bit about her. You guys will meet her as you come in to the clinic. And Jerry, I know that both of us have been nervous as we grow the staff and Skin and Tonic expands. So it's exciting for us as owners, but it's also a little bit scary because we're having people that represent us. And so it's been a challenge. So we're happy that Brooke has fit in so far.
Yeah, the first thing people see when they come through the front door at Skin and Tonic is whoever's sitting at the front desk. And so we are very lucky to have two brand new smiling faces. Welcome to the team. It's been a great run so far, and we hope for it to go for many more years.
Now we get the fun stuff, the rapid fire questions. So Sarah sent them to you before, right?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to start with one that I picked. So a client calls in and asks, can they have a VIP appointment with a certain handsome or beautiful staff member? So how do you handle that? Do you offer them a private consult or send them some extra attention to make the experience more personal?
I would give them some extra attention to make their experience more personal. Hold on. I'm trying to think of. Sorry. Okay. So give me a second because that is, I'm not used to answering questions like that. Okay, so
do you want me to go to another one?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do a hypothetical. So a client offers you a huge tip and a little thank you for making sure their treatment goes smoothly. It's not directly part of your job, but how much is too much when it comes to gifts? Do you take it, or just you reject the gift, or how do you handle that?
I wouldn't accept a tip, unfortunately, because I don't feel like that's necessary for me. I'm just working in the front desk. I feel like that's necessary for the estheticians and stuff.
Do you
stuff.
Worry about offending them if you don't take it?
Yes.
So then how do you navigate that situation?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm really uncomfortable right now. I'm really uncomfortable. I'm sorry. I'm like on fire.
I quit.
You guys were asking me, this is not what was on the list, so I'm not prepared for any of these questions.
It's all a joke.
I know. I'm just, on fire right now.
So welcome to the team, Brooke. And so we do have serious questions now. That was a little fun just to get started. So you are at the front desk now. You are the face when people walk in. That's who they see of Skin and Tonic. So what got you into aesthetics, and anything different in the short period of time that you've been here? Do you view the industry any different in the short time you've been here than you did before you entered into this industry?
That's a great question. So what actually got me into aesthetics is I was in a tragic accident on May 23rd, 2023. I was visiting my mom at her house, and unfortunately her pool filter exploded. And it hit me directly in the left side of my face. That resulted in shattering my left cheekbone, my top jaw, and my eye socket. I had to have emergency facial reconstructive surgery, which then resulted in a few more facial reconstructive surgeries, which led me down the line to be introduced into aesthetics. Because for the longevity of my face and the results of what had happened, I was going to have permanent hollowing in the left side of my face. I have plates that keep my cheekbone and my jaw attached. And from this point on, for the rest of my life, I will constantly have to have filler and Botox to help deal with the muscles and the loss of fat underneath of my eye from the trauma that I experienced. So it actually opened my eyes to see that aesthetics isn't scary. It actually can help people in so many ways. And I feel like that aesthetics is viewed kind of on a basis of like, okay, you look at a lot of people and you think that it's scary. Most people are overdone, or, you know, you just don't see the typical side of like what I went through. For me, it was life-changing. It saved my life because it brought me back to me. I wasn't changing anything. I was just regenerating what was lost. And that for me is what I think aesthetics is truly all about.
That was some Miss America shit right there. I like that.
I think it's real interesting for people to hear aesthetics from that side, because a lot of people come into it because they do have a line or a fine line or a wrinkle or want bigger lips. But a lot of people don't understand that we see a lot of people that are drawn to aesthetics because of some sort of trauma, whether it be some type of cancer, or I've had a patient that didn't have lips because of having hemangioma removed as a child. And so I think it's really interesting to hear from a patient's perspective on that side of it, because like Chris and I didn't have that. We went into it because of vanity, honestly. Truly, we were truly like aesthetic consumers that are probably 90% of the people. So I think that you having that different perspective is something that like will make you a lot more compassionate at our front desk, and like creates the vibe that we want here at Skin and Tonic.
So, you know, you have this vibe of you're going to get stuff done, but don't mess with you. So it can be a bit chaotic here. Probably more chaotic when we're on vacation. I know you're sick of me last week, like ringing the phone off the hook, you and Rachel both. So what is your approach to handling the chaos, and how do you balance all of our personalities and keeping us all kind of happy in the day, moving smoothly?
So I treat chaos like it's a game. So I thrive in chaos. So if something is going on for the day, and say I have quite a few fires to put out, it's kind of like fun for me to see how many fires I can put out the fastest and how well I can resolve those issues. And that for me is just how smoothly things can run, just based off of, you know, as long as I have everything under control, the clients are going to feed off of me. So say I have somebody, most of the time, some people are going to panic or they might get flustered. That's the last thing I'm going to do. I'm not going to project what they're projecting on me. It's my job to constantly remain emotionally neutral at all times.
So you've been here for a while. You've dealt with not just us, but a lot of patients. What's your biggest pet peeve so far with patients?
No call, no show.
Mine too.
Show and no pay. That's mine.
So who's the office troublemaker?
Jerry. 100%. I always have to keep my eyes peeled for him.
No hesitation there at
all.
That
didn't take a lot of thought from anybody.
So do you think, should we include being on the podcast as part of our interview process?
I do.
And I think you should generate the questions.
I can generate the question.
I see you can.
We'll put them to the test.
Sierra's like,
oh, is that? I'm out of here.
Sierra's the one that's got to deal with all the HR stuff when there's problems. So let's say we put a GoPro at the front desk for a day. What kind of footage are we getting?
You're going to get a lot of footage of me interacting with a lot of patients, taking a lot of pictures. Lots of fun and interesting conversations occur in this waiting room here. So that would be definitely something to watch. I love the patients, and we have such a wonderful time up here. And it's one of my favorite things is just interacting with them and getting them comfortable and kind of getting to know them before they get in the back with our providers. And I feel like that's very important to being a part of your comfortability. Like, say, for instance, like you're saying, some people are scared to be here for the first time and say they're going to get their lips done. That's a scary procedure. I've made a lot of people feel very comfortable about that because, for instance, Allie has done my lips and I literally use myself as an example. I'm like, look at my lips. I literally just had them done. Allie did, you know, a syringe in my lips and they look completely natural. And 90% of the time, they are 10 times more comfortable. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get back there. They come out, they're walking out, they're all smiles. They're like, do you love them? And they're all up, like showing me their lips and they're so happy. So that's kind of what you would see most of the time if you put a GoPro up there.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to be on the podcast with us. We certainly enjoyed having you here. We're going to feature some more of our team members as we go along. And so any of our VIP members, you love these familiar faces. You get to see them quite often. And for those of you who are new to the practice, it's a little behind the scenes look of who you'll get to meet if you come here.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty of the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
See you soon.